welcome to Label Sessions Presents, the podcast where we talk to the most interesting people about all the things you need to know in the world of innovation, business, design, tech, and culture. I'm Fazlan Iso, and today we're joined by three brand new additions to the Label Sessions expert roster, as well as Nick Sherrard from the Label Sessions team. Welcome, everyone.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
So hello and welcome to Richard Elwood, who is the strategist who makes brands mean something. Richard doesn't just craft stories, he makes them land. Whether launching in 23 markets or driving retail footfall with multi-sensory campaigns, he connects brand business impact. Welcome, Richard.
Hi there. Thank you very much for having me today.
Awesome. A big welcome to Sachin Shah, the strategic CTO who builds tech that doesn't break the business. Sachin scales from zero with clarity, aligning product, platform, and people at speed. He's the rare CTO who knows when to move fast and when to build forever. Welcome, Sachin.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
And then a big welcome to Alison Kilduff, the culture coach who doesn't blink when it gets hard. Alison brings clarity and calm to the messiest corners of organizational life, cutting through conflict, stagnation, and fog to help teams actually change. Welcome, Alison.
Thank you, Fazlan. Lovely introduction.
How much should we change for Gen Z? Now, this is one of those things that comes up very often because we're all very confused by Gen Z as a market. Nike have just recently updated their iconic slogan in a campaign from just do it to why do it. Lacoste is changing their logo. Is Gen Z really a totally new market, or are brands just changing too much too fast to placate them? Let's jump off with Richard.
I love this question because this is core to everything in marketing. You've got to understand your audience, your consumer. And so Gen Z, there are, of course, nuances, as there are for any group, and you know, for some of us on this call, where we are Gen X. But if you look at things like
Thanks, Richard.
Very young Gen X, I would say. It's like Edelman and their trust insights, and that's often a starting point for me. And when you look at Gen Z, it's particularly about trust is falling, particularly for institutions. But then for brands, well, I think they're perhaps a bit more discerning, and they're looking at, well, why? What's your story? Why should I really trust you? What are your values? And I want to understand more. You better tell me more about your ethical supply chain. And I think that's great. I think that sort of slightly more demanding nature is great. You know, that perhaps there's been a bit too much implicit trust. To the point about Nike, I think from a marketing perspective, it's great because they've made a change. And what's that done? Well, it's got us all talking about the change that they've made. And that's really the aim of the marketing or the brand strategy. What it does, though, so I get the sentiment of exploring risk and motivation, and its intention is to show empathy for how people approach different situations. But Just Do It was all about performance and energy, and I love that, and I think that's really good. If you change that to why do it, well, that's then introducing a sort of potential get out. And when I think about, oh God, I'm about to go out for a run, it's raining, it's cold, I just feel too tired to do this. If someone were to say to me, well, you know, why should you do that? It gives me that get out clause. And I think if someone was to instead say, just go and do it, I would, you know. So it's why I love the energy, and I would have personally just doubled down on that and given the evidence points of why just doing it is much better rather than sort of dilly-dallying and questioning whether you should.
I'm not sure. Is it questioning? So I was wondering, like, in terms of habit formation, I get what you're saying, Richard, absolutely. But in habit formation, there is a sort of contemplation phase. So to your point that it's speaking to, well, why do it is you're going to feel better and you're going to be healthier and it's going to stack up over the longer term. It gives you that sort of motivation. And if you're it's the distinction between the ponderers and the action folk. As I was listening to you thinking, well, the why is not a get out necessarily. It could be, or it could be a more sophisticated, actually, if you really, if you focus on their longer term goal, it's going to motivate you to just get out and run in the rain. But I agree with you that, because I think it's true, I think brands, organization, like there is no organization that's given a divine right to succeed, you know, and they have to keep relevant. It's not just about pushing stuff at us. I think we're seeing the same thing with organizations. So a lot of us on the call grew up in management consultancy, which basically you gave your kidney and you went to wherever you were sent to go and you never questioned it. And I still work a lot with the large brands, and younger folk are just not willing to do it. Like, they want to know why they're doing stuff. They want to be connected to something. I mean, given that lots of things are no longer, you know, having a house is no longer a thing that you can rely on, being promoted, actually being able to live in the city that you might be working in, I think rightly they've gone to, well, now I, you know, what I can do is make choices about who I align to and why I align to it. And I think we're seeing that definitely with organizations. So, you know, the larger consulting are having to talk about their values, are having to prove that in the same way that kind of, you know, retail companies are having to have an authentic story, because younger folk are just like, I don't need to do it. And maybe I don't want to be part of this, giving you my kidney and going wherever I want to go, because you know, I need to make meaning in my life, because that might be the only thing that I can control, because I can't control all this other stuff. So I think they have to do it. They have to be relevant.
It's interesting in some ways that we're talking about the advent of Gen Z, but you know, in the context of these sort of massive brands that come from a generation ago. I think there's kind of like a lesson in there. If you think about the amount of money that's been spent over the last decade or so on new direct-to-consumer offerings in spaces that are like sport and fashion and such like. And actually, one of the great things within the case of Nike or Lacoste or some of the brands we're talking about is actually because they've been led by a big brand North Star. It's kind of massive idea. Even like the phrase, you know, that kind of just do it line that you can now kind of almost refine in a different way and play in a different way. It's interesting that in terms of, I guess, that classic brand building has in the end won out so much that actually like a big brand story, you can activate in different ways and can adapt over time for different markets. But actually it's been pretty resilient when you then compare it to all the new entrants in that space. And actually, Sachin, to your point, also in terms of talent, people coming up still want to work for Nike rather than wanting to work necessarily with some of the new entrants that have come through. There have been some. There are the examples of Under Armour and elsewhere, but it's kind of much more rare than you might think. If you were to say 10, 15 years ago, we're going to pour billions and billions into direct-to-consumer fashion startups, you'd be thinking, well, I reckon by 2025, they'll take it over then, right? Because supposedly all the advantages have been gone. You can launch a brand on Instagram, and if you can spend on ads, then you'll get there. Whereas actually, we're still talking around how these massive brands with a massive, bold idea at the heart of them have been able to adapt rather than the new entrants. It's kind of an interesting thing.
That's it. And I think your brand strategy can't just be set and then saved in a file somewhere and not looked at for another 5 years, 10 years. You know, your brand strategy is constantly live. And I suppose what we're talking about is brands like Disney, where I worked for a long time, which is nearly 100 years old. The reason why that brand has remained relevant to, you know, baby boomers, Gen X, Gen Z, Generation Alpha, is because they've continued to listen to their audience. They've stayed really close. And then they've looked at, well, what's our relevance in terms of our product, our service? How do we understand our competitive positioning? Where are we lacking? Where do we need to invest more? Of course, we, you know, we're talking about Nike and we're talking about their tagline, but a brand is so much more, so much more than that. And I think very often people fixate on logos or taglines. Your brand is everything. It's every single customer touchpoint that anyone ever has. It's your tone of voice. It's your media channels. It's how you show up. It's how your CEO behaves. It's everything. So I think that's why you've got to scrutinize all of these different elements in your brand strategy every single day. Otherwise, you could fall into a trap, lose your relevance, and then you're going to lose your audience.
Just the last little quick thing to pick up on Richard and on Sachin's, I would really like organizations to think that their brand touches everything. So start with why, but then that has to you know, I still see a lot of organizations, their brand strategy is pretty much the strap line, the color, the, it isn't the CEO behavior. It isn't how do we brand internally? You know, how do we augment that? I think that is a handful of organizations that have that insight. So I'm really delighted to hear you say that, Richard. I hope your consultancy is going out and talking to people about they need to do more of branding their culture alongside their collateral.
Yep, trying to.
Many years ago, I attempted, we had a stand, which was about how do you align and connect brand and culture. We called it ABC. Obviously, we hadn't had branding advice on that. loads of people came and they were really, really interested. And it was it, but it's hard. It's hard. It's a lot harder. And I think that's part of it. But I guess to what our conversation is around longevity and Nick, your point around, you know, around that big brand strategy, I think also those organizations are attending to all of the other component parts. They have bigger budgets, let's be clear, like bigger budgets, brighter people, they have that cachet, which helps, doesn't it, versus the kind of smaller niche. Not always, but it is a factor.